Thanks for joining me this Saturday. We'll hear from The Witch's Tale this week, a series that debuted in May of 1931, aired until June of 1938, produced 333 episodes for Mutual stations, also had a run in Australia for a time. Our story today is from December 7th, 1937. It's titled The Power of Lucifer.
Witch's Tale. The fascination of the eerie. Weird, blood-chilling tales told by old Nancy, the Witch of Salem, and Satan, her wise black cat. They are waiting. Waiting for you now.
A 106-year-old I be today. Yes, sir. 106-year-old. Well, Satan, give word to douse all lights and we'll get right down to business. That's right. Make it nice and dark and cheerful. We likes gloom and shadow. Now, draw up to the fire and gaze into the embers. Gaze into them deep. And soon you'll see a crowded ballroom in a fine big house in New York City. And there, midst happiness and laughter, begins our tale about the power of Lucifer. The power of Lucifer!
The next dance will be a waltz, dear. Sure you want to sit it out?
Yes, Catherine. I've stepped on enough defenseless female toes this evening. And as I have to buy your shoes, I'll be economical as well as merciful. This balcony seems deserted. Let's go out there.
And gaze at the moon?
Mm-hmm. Now, here's an especially nice chair for moon gazing. Big enough for both of us.
Not unless I sit in your lap.
That's all right. I have a good, strong lap. Now, give me a kiss.
Warrington, must my hair. Don't you ever get tired of making love to your wife?
Nope. My wife ever get tired of having me make love to her?
Nope.
There's no occasion for argument. Give me another kiss.
That's enough. And I'm going to sit in this other chair before you crush my gown and I press the crease out of your trousers.
All evening you've forsaken me and now you're doing it again.
I am. And unless you curb your romantic ardor, I'll make you take me back in there and dance.
I'll be good. It's too nice to be out here with you and away from all those people.
You don't like the crowd that's here, do you?
Oh, they're all right, I suppose, but I don't understand them. I'm just a plain businessman. Hindu poets, Armenian artists, and Turkish musicians are way over my head.
Since Mrs. Brewster decided to patronize the art, she's certainly had some very strange people at her affairs.
Strange? They seem lunatics to me. Fortunately, old Dr. Farmer's wife had deserted him, as you did me, so he and I sneaked off in a corner and discussed politics, Wall Street, and baseball. That plebeian brand of conversation soon drove away any nut who came near us. What particular sort of culture does the chap go in for who's been monopolizing you all evening?
Mr. Orlov?
Yeah, that's his name. I didn't catch it when we were introduced. He's Russian, isn't he?
I imagine so, though he didn't mention his nationality.
What does he do for a living?
I don't know.
We've spent enough time with him to have learned his whole life's history.
You weren't jealous?
Of course not. I merely ask about him because, well, he's such a peculiar-looking chap, and I'm curious to know what there is about him that held your interest for so long.
I don't know that either. He's a very strange person. He's talked a steady stream from the moment I met him. Yes, I know nothing about him at all.
What did he talk about?
Well, a subject that I've only heard of in the vaguest sort of way before. Devil worship.
Devil worship?
Yes. Not medieval witchcraft or anything like that, but something that exists today. The cult of Lucifer, he called it.
Cult of Lucifer?
It's a religious sect, he said, that has churches, ordained priests, and a ceremonial.
And he said this cult of Lucifer is active now?
Yes, all over the world, right here in New York. He talks so much about it, I've an idea he himself's a member. Warren, there's something horrible about that man. 5 minutes after I met him, he was absolutely repulsive to me.
Yet you danced with him all evening.
I don't know why. After the first dance, I wanted to get away. Yet, when he asked me for another, I'd have been with him yet if you hadn't come for me. Warren, I made up my mind not to say anything about all this. It sounds so silly. Oh, but I'm glad I've told you. I want you to stay with me for the rest of the evening. Don't leave me for a moment. And if Mr. Orlov asks me to dance with him again, you make some excuse. Don't let me.
Catherine, are you intimating that you can't refuse this man yourself?
Yes. Don't ask me why. I don't know. I'm afraid of that man, Warren. Terribly afraid.
Oh, there they are, Mrs. Brewster.
My dear Catherine, we've been looking everywhere for you and Warren.
Oh, just sitting out a dance, Mrs. Brewster. Won't you join us?
Dear, he's with them.
Don't worry, darling. Your Mr. Orlov won't bother you now.
You and your husband have been enjoying the moonlight, Mrs. Grayling.
Yes, Mr. Orlov. How gorgeously romantic. They're always running away from people so they can be by themselves, Mr. Orlov. As though they were sweethearts instead of husband and wife. In these two young people, you see the perfect marriage.
A most unusual thing to see. Perfect things are rare.
I'll say they are. But you played me a mean trick when you disappeared with Catherine Warren. A Swedish poetess. Got me in the corner and nearly talked my arm off.
I tell you, my dear, Dr. Farmer and I had organized a mutual protective association of two against art in there.
Oh, you and the doctor are incurably bourgeoisie.
Afraid we are, Mrs. Brewster. Your guests of this evening are too highbrow for plain people such as Warren and myself. By that, I mean no offense to you, Mr. Oliver.
None is taken. I, like you, am plain people. It's not what you call highbrow.
You're far too modest, Mr. Orlov. You and Warren must become better acquainted with this gentleman, Doctor. He's been everywhere, seen everything, and, oh, he's told me of the most interesting things. Catherine, my dear, did he tell you of that perfectly intriguing sect he calls the Cult of Lucifer?
Yes, Mr. Orlov told me a great deal about it.
What is the Cult of Lucifer? Simply a group, or rather many groups, of people who believe that evil is a more potent factor in this world than good. Consequently, they worship the Lord of Evil and serve him, not by what Orthodox religionists call worthy acts, but by bringing sorrow and trouble wherever they can.
Did you ever hear of anything so perfectly fascinating?
There are idiots in this world who go in for anything.
The cult of Lucifer is not composed of idiots, Doctor. You may have heard it said that the devil takes care of his own. He endows his most ardent disciples with great power. So I am told.
Oh, rot.
Perhaps. Of course, I am only speaking hearsay.
Oh, naturally. It's delightfully interesting to think about, but one wouldn't wish to be acquainted with people who believe such things personally, would one?
I don't think so, Mrs. Brewster.
No, darn well, I wouldn't.
Now, I simply must return to my other guests. You'll excuse me, won't you?
By all means,
of course. Yes, of course.
You four lovely people mustn't stay out here too long, though. We've
been informed. Well, no one gets me back in there while I'm in my right senses.
May I hope that Mrs. Craig will return to the ballroom very soon as my partner for the next dance, perhaps?
I...
Shall we go now? The music has begun.
Yes.
Catherine?
I
have your permission, of course, Mr. Craig. Yes. Thank you. I am Mrs. Craig. We shall join you gentlemen later.
Warren. What's the matter with you? You look as though someone hit you over the head.
Doctor, what? That man made me say yes when I wanted to say no. He walked away with Catherine when I wanted to stop him and she didn't want to go.
What are you talking about?
By the Lord, he isn't going to get away with it.
Warren, where are you going?
Hold up. Hold up. Come back here. Hold up.
Are you calling me, Mr.
Bray?
Yes, come back here,
Mother. Oh, you're making a scene. What's the matter with you?
You will soon find out, and so will he.
Why have you called me, Mr. Bray?
You know well enough. Step out here on this balcony, and I'll tell you. Let go of his arm, Catherine. Come here to me.
Warren.
Come here to me.
I...
Go to your husband, Mrs. Gray.
Yes.
What kind of a game are you playing? She couldn't even take her hand from your arm until you let her. When she told me you'd made her dance with you all evening against her will, I didn't know what to think. But now I do, because you've just worked the same hypnotic trick on me. I don't like to be tricked, Mr. Rawl. And I don't want hypnotists experimenting on my wife. She's not dancing with you anymore, that's all.
Not quite all, Mr. Gray. Your tone has been both loud and insulting. Dr. Farmer has been a witness, and others have been attracted by your word. It is your privilege to say I cannot dance with your wife. But I expect an apology.
You won't get it, Olaf.
It may be in my power to compel it.
Not from me.
You will apologize to me, Mr. Gray, before these people.
I apologize to you, Mr. Olaf.
I thank you. But now that you have made it, I choose not to accept your apology, Mr. Gray. You will feel that Ivan Orlov is a most vindictive man. Good night.
Warren, what in heaven's name is the meaning of all this? What's happened to you? Again, you look stunned, like a man who has received a blow.
Doc, he did it to me a second time. Beat down my will as he did before.
It doesn't matter, dear. He's gone now. Let's get our things and leave here. We never met him before tonight. We won't see him anymore.
I'm not so sure of that. I didn't like the look of that fellow when he left.
He can't do us any harm, Doctor. He can't.
Darling, what's the matter?
Hold on to me, dear. I feel faint.
Catch her, Warren. She's falling.
Catherine, darling, what's wrong with you? Doctor, she's fainted.
Carry her to that bench. Lay her down.
Yes. What could have caused it?
I don't know.
Catherine. Catherine, darling. She's so white and still. She's scarcely breathing, Doctor. What's the reason for this? She hasn't been sick.
I know that. I'm her doctor. Someone telephone for the ambulance. Hurry.
An ambulance, Doc?
Yes.
You don't think...
I've got to get her to a hospital if I hope to save her life.
Her life?
Yes. Her pulse is very weak. Her heart is beating and no more.
But she can't die, Doc. You won't let her die.
Not if I can help it. Hold on to yourself, my boy.
Catherine.
I can't understand it. I examined her only last week. Her heart was regular as a clock.
What's the reason? Doctor, her lips are moving. She's trying to say something. What is it, dear? Oh, she hasn't even strength to speak to me. What's the reason? What's the reason?
Be still, please. She is trying to say something. Catherine, what is it, dear?
I couldn't hear her, Doc. What did she say?
It was just a whisper. I think she said, the power of Lucifer.
Isn't she any better, Doctor?
Just the same, my boy.
That's all you've told me for 3 days, that she's just the same. And she lies on this bed, never moving, scarcely breathing, dying. Oh, isn't there anything you can do to save her?
I've done everything, tried everything I know. I'm at my wit's end, boy. The specialists I've brought in can't diagnose this condition any better than I can, nor recommend a treatment. We doctors know so little.
Then you haven't any hope? She's going to die?
No, I haven't given up hope. But doctors are only men. Where we fail, often something else steps in and saves. God. He gives and he takes away, son.
Everything in this universe is really up to him.
And he's forgotten her and me. Don't you think I've prayed to him? Every moment since he collapsed that night, a prayer's been on my lips or crying in my heart. A prayer of desperation. A cry of my whole being. For if I lose her, I have nothing in the world. He's forgotten me. He doesn't care.
I don't think you or I or any other human being can say that. For we don't know his scheme. My boy, I'm not just trying to deaden your anxiety and heartbreak with a sugar-coated anodyne of religion. I haven't any creed. I'm just talking what I sincerely believe. Catherine has been unconscious for 3 days. She hasn't suffered for a single moment of that time or felt the slightest pain. If she doesn't come out of this, I don't say she won't. I don't believe she won't. And I'll do all a human being can to bring her back to you. But if I can't, she'll simply pass from a light sleep into a deep one. She'll have been spared a lot of trouble that living holds for everyone. God will have been very kind to her, my boy. And you won't have lost Catherine. For there's another place where those who love are reunited.
Maybe. 3 days ago, I thought that, believed, was sure of it. Now I've lost all faith in the sort of providence that struck my wife without a warning.
Warren!
I've lost all faith, I tell you. If there is a force for good, there's an evil force that counteracts it. An evil force that's the strongest.
You don't know what you're saying.
Oh, yes, I do. Doctor, what did Catherine's whisper mean that night when she murmured the power of Lucifer?
I don't know. Probably something about Orloff's filthy cult had lingered in her mind. Or it may have been in my mind. So that I read her whisper as I did. I couldn't really swear her lips formed words. She murmured too low to hear.
No, she said what you thought she did, all right. She said the power of Lucifer. They were the last words she uttered. They were a message to me, a message I hadn't understood until now.
What do you mean?
That devil Orloff did this thing to her. As he proved that he could bend our minds, now he's proved his hellish power in her body.
You're mad.
No, I'm not. You haven't any explanation for whatever struck her down, without cause, without a warning. I have, at last. Orloff threatened me. He said the devil took care of his own. That he gave great power to his disciples, to him. That power is killing my wife. The power of Lucifer. The god of evil who is stronger than the lord of good.
You're beside yourself, my boy. You can't believe such a thing.
I do believe it. And if Catherine dies, then I'll know it's
my
true.
My boy.
Doctor. Catherine just moaned. The first sound she's made since...
Out of my way, Warren. Let me see.
What's that rattling noise I hear? It's coming from her throat. Doctor, she looks different. She's lying so still that there's not the slightest movement. Her eyes are open, staring. Doctor, why are you pulling that sheet over her face? Doctor! Catherine. Catherine.
Son.
Catherine, my darling.
Don't lose faith, my boy. You'll find her again if you don't lose your faith. Who is it?
Dr. Farmer.
Oh, I shan't need you now.
I've brought an important message, Doctor. It's for Mr. Gregg, from Mr. Orloff.
Orloff? What is the message?
Simply this slip of paper, his address, sir. But he said it was a matter of life and death. Oh, Doctor. Mrs. Gregg?
Yes. Just now.
His address. A matter of life and death. Perhaps he meant he could have saved her. But this came too late. He'd gone farther than he thought. She's dead.
Boy, what are you muttering to yourself?
He killed her. He killed her. But this tells me where to find him.
Warren!
This tells me where to find him. Where to take his life for hers.
Come back. Stop him, someone.
He's dead, Doctor.
All the power of Lucifer won't save him. His life for hers. His life for hers.
Come in. The gentleman we expected has arrived, Master. It was exactly 11 minutes past midnight when you let him in the downstairs door. I told you it would be.
The Master knows all things.
Mr. Gregg has a pistol in his pocket.
Yes, Master. With his hand inside the pocket and his fingers on the trigger. Already. I can see the outline through the cloth.
I see it through these walls. I saw him buy the gun 4 miles away. He means to shoot me the moment he and I are alone in this room. Show him in at once, Alexei, and leave up here. Fools. Fools. Be gentlemen, master. Come in, Mr. Gray. Please go, Alexei, and shut the door behind you.
Yes.
You murderer! Wait. Before you press the trigger of that pistol, let me ask you one question.
No, you...
It is a question I summoned you to hear. The question of life or death. Do you want your wife restored to you?
My wife?
Do you want your wife restored to life?
You know she's dead. That proves you killed her.
I do not deny it. I told you once that Ivan Orlov was a most vindictive man.
You fiend! Now you'll pay your life for hers.
Wait. First answer my question. Do you want your wife restored to life?
Yeah.
You're playing with me. A man does not play when another holds a loaded pistol at his breast. And I am very afraid of firearms, really. Keep your pistol, Mr. Gregg. Keep it pointed at my body if you will. But you had better hear what I have to say before you shoot. So, you relax a little. That is better. I left a note telling you where to find my humble residence as your dear wife breathed her last. But wait. I left it because Ivan Orlov is also a forgiving man when his vengeance is complete. And the power of Lucifer can give as well as take.
The power of Lucifer?
Which in that hospital room this evening, you'll realize was greater than the power of who. I am a priest of Lucifer. Ease is the power that I wield. You doubt, perhaps, that I can bring your wife to life as I have made her die. Take this piece of paper. Tear it up. Tear it up. Hold the pieces in your open hand. I have not touched them. I do not touch them. Yet look.
They've joined together.
As they were before you tore them. So I can restore the broken fragments of your dear one's life.
Give her back to me and I'll be your slave.
I do not need a slave. But a master I adore needs loyal servants.
What do you mean?
That the devil takes care of his own, but only his own. That he gives nothing for nothing. You must pay a price. That you must serve him if you would have him serve you.
To regain Catherine, I must...
You must be consecrated in my master's service. Tonight and forevermore, you must bow down and worship Lucifer. You are very pale, my brother. For we are brothers now by the virtue of the faith we share. You did not enjoy your consecration in our order?
It was horrible. Bestial. Unholy.
Holy and unholy are words we do not employ. The king is either evil or unevil. For there our power lies.
If evil gives you power to bring back the warmth of life to that cold body on the bed, I accept your awful fate. To have her back, to have her love again, is worth the eternal damnation of my soul. If I have a soul.
You must not doubt the existence of your soul, my brother. For to accept the creed of evil, the creed of good must also be believed. One cannot exist without the other. Our deity is stronger, as you shall soon see. For he will bring the dead to life.
How soon? How soon?
In less than a minute. Blood will course again in those now so lifeless veins. Breath will return. And those closed eyes will open of themselves. In less than a minute, the dead will rise and walk.
Oh, Catherine. It'll be worth my soul to have your love again.
Ah, you have not forfeited your soul. Souls are not my master's business.
You said if he restored her, I must pay a price.
Of course. He gives nothing for nothing.
What will that price be?
I do not know. I do not even know the price that I must someday pay for power. But I do not care. Power is all that matters. And I shall live many years to wield it. For I control the minds of men, and nothing can destroy me.
Olaf. Color's returning to her cheeks.
By the power of Lucifer.
She breathed. You've kept your promise. You're restoring her to life.
Not I, but he, my sir.
Her flesh grows warm. She's coming back to me. Now, like you, I don't care what price I have to pay. I'll have Catherine once more. My Catherine. Olaf, she's able to rise. Speak to me, darling. Let me hear your voice again. You look as though you didn't know me. I'm Warren, dear. Your husband. Catherine, why do you laugh like that? Why are you laughing like a baby? Olaf, her eyes.
What about them?
They're blank, staring. Her body lives, but her eyes are dead.
So they are. I forgot to tell you that though my master can restore the dead to life, he cannot restore the brain.
You mean that Catherine?
She is an imbecile, my brother. As I have said, the Lord of Evil has no province over souls. And without a soul, there can be no mind, of course. But rest easy now. You have nothing more to fear. You have paid the devil's price.
You monster! You fiend!
Drop that gun.
Oh!
You fool. I told you I had mastery over all created men. When I let you keep that gun this afternoon, I only played with you for amusement. I am a priest of Lucifer. With the power he has given me, I shall live forever.
Catherine!
She has picked up the gun you dropped. Take it from her and return it to your pocket. It pleases me to have you keep it and know you cannot use it. Imbecile! Do not point that gun at me. Drop that pistol, I say, drop it!
She has no mind, Olaf. You're powerless before her, and her fingers on the trigger.
No, no, no!
Now, Olaf, you, like me, have paid your master's price. Only you bought power. Something evil had to sell. I tried to purchase love.
Satan. Now you and me has business to attend to. Important business, Satan. Near midnight, Satan.
That's going to do it for the horror this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from The Witch's Tale at relicradio.com. More from this podcast, all the other podcasts, and thousands of other old-time radio episodes, all available for free thanks to your donations. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, visit donate.relicradio.com. Click on the donate link while you're at the website. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Saturday with a story from Suspense on another episode of The Horror.